जयो गिरीवराधहरि जयो गिरीवराधहरि कपिजनवल्लभा जयो गिरीवराधहरि जयो जयो गोपीजनवल्लभा जयो गिरीवराधहरि जयो गिरीवराधहरि गोपीजनवल्लभा जयो गिरीवराधहरि जयो सोदनन्दन भ्रज जन रंजन सोदनन्दन भ्रज जन सोदनन्दन भ्रज जन रंजन मुन्नतिरावन्न च हरि जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारि राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारि जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारि जयो कुंज बिहारि जयो गोपीजनवल्लभा जयो गिरीवराधहरि जयो गिरीवराधहरि गोपीजनवल्लभा जयो गिरीवराधहरि सोदनन्दन भ्रज जनरञ्जन सोदनन्दन भ्रज जनरञ्जन सोदनन्दन भ्रज जनरञ्जन भ्रज जनरञ्जन मुन्नतिरावन्न च हरि मुन्नतिरा जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारि राधा माधव हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Madhava Stasaki Shrimad Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Shila Prabhupad Ki Jai Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. This morning we are reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, the Lord Ramachandra rules the world. Chapter 11, Shlokas 26 to 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asikta Margam Gandodhai Karinam Madashikarai Swaminam Praptam Alokya Matam Vasutaramiva Asita Margam Gandhodai Karinam Madashikarai Swaminam Praptam Halokya Matam Vasutaramiva. Please chant. Asikta Margam, the streets were sprinkled Ganda Hudai with perfumed water, Karinam of elephants, Madashikarai with the particles of perfumed liquor, Swaminam, the master proprietor, Praptam, present, Alokya, seeing personally, Matam, very opulent, Va, either, Sutaram, highly, Eva, as if. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. During the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the streets of the capital, Ayodhya, were sprinkled with perfumed water and drops of perfumed liquor, thrown about by elephants from their trunks. When the citizens saw the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the city in such opulence, they appreciated this opulence very much. Purport. We have simply heard about the opulence of Ram Raja during the reign of Lord Ramachandra. Now, he is one example of the opulence of Lord's kingdom. The streets of Ayodhya were not only cleaned, but also sprinkled with perfumed water and drops of perfumed liquor, which were distributed by elephants through their trunks. There was no need of sprinkling machines, for the elephant has a natural ability to suck water through its trunk and again throw it out in a shower. We can understand the opulence of the city from this one example. It was actually sprinkled with the perfumed water. Moreover, the citizens had the opportunity to see the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the state. He was not a sleepy monarch, as we can understand from his activities in sending his brothers to see the affairs outside of the capital and punish anyone who did not obey the emperor's orders. This is called Digvijaya. The citizens were all given facilities for peaceful life, and they were also qualified with appropriate attributes according to Varnashrama. As we have seen from the previous chapter, Varnashrama Gunanvita, the citizens were trained according to the Varnashrama system. A class of men were Brahmanas, a class of men were Kshatriyas, a class of Vaishyas, and a class were Shudras. Without this scientific division, there can be no question of good citizenship. The king, being magnanimous and perfect in his duty, performed many sacrifices and treated the citizens as his sons, and the citizens, being trained in the Varnashrama system, were obedient and perfectly ordered. The entire monarchy was so opulent and peaceful that the government was even able to sprinkle the street with the perfumed water, what to speak of other management. Since the city was sprinkled with the perfumed water, we can simply imagine how opulent it was in other respects. Why should the citizens not have felt happy during the reign of Lord Ramachandra? And there are some more shlokas till the end of the chapter without the purport, and we will read them now. Only English without Sanskrit. Shloka 27. The palace gates, the assembly houses, the platforms for meeting places, the temples, and all such places were decorated with the golden water pots and bedecked with the various types of flags. Shloka 28. Wherever Lord Ramachandra visited, auspicious welcome gates were constructed with banana trees and betel nut trees, full of flowers and fruits. The gates were decorated with various flags made of colorful cloth and with the tapestries, mirrors, and garlands. 29. Wherever Lord Ramachandra visited, the people approached him with paraphernalia of worship and begged the Lord's blessings. O Lord, they said, as you rescued the earth from the bottom of the sea in your incarnation as a boar, may you now maintain it. Thus we beg your blessings. Shloka 30. Thereafter, not having seen the Lord for a long time, the citizens, both men and women, being very eager to see him, left their homes and got up on the roofs of the palaces. Being completely satiated with seeing the face of the lotus-eyed Lord Ramachandra, they showered flowers upon him. 31 to 34. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra entered the palace of his forefathers. Within the palace were various treasures and valuable wardrobes. The sitting places on the two sides of the entrance door were made of coral. The yards were surrounded by pillars and Vaidurya money. The floor was made of highly polished Marakata money, and the foundation was made of marble. The entire place was decorated with flags and garlands and bedecked with valuable stones, shining with the celestial effulgence. The palace was fully decorated with the pearls and surrounded by lamps and incense. The men and women within the palace all resembled demigods and were decorated with the various ornaments, which seemed beautiful because of being placed on their bodies. Shloka 36, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chief of the best learned scholars, resided in that palace with his pleasure potency, Mother Sita, and enjoyed complete peace. And the last shloka, 36, without transgressing the religious principles, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by devotees in meditation, enjoyed with all the paraphernalia of transcendental pleasure for as long as needed. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports on the 9th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. Om Magyanati Mirandasya Gyanandana Asalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Ghoravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorat Vishya Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this 11th chapter we heard about Lord Ramachandra's rule in Ayodhya. And just a couple of shlokas before this 26th shloka that we read on the board, Maharaj Parikshit, he asked Shukadeva Goswami about the behavior of the Lord towards the citizens and his brothers and vice versa. He asked, how did the Lord conduct himself and how did he behave in relationship with his brothers and how did his brothers and inhabitants of Ayodhya treat him? And then he just shloka prior to this one, it stated that when the citizens saw the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the city in such opulence, they appreciated this opulence very much. And in 26 shloka and the following shlokas, we have description of this great opulence of Ayodhya, where even the streets were sprinkled with the perfumed water, which is something unheard nowadays. So what was the cause of this opulence? This opulence was the result of the exemplary relationship of the king and the citizens, and the king and his brothers. And these relationships that king had were the result of his exalted qualities. As we know, Lord Ramachandra, he was an ideal king, ideal husband, ideal father, an ideal human being. In this class, I would like more to focus on his role as ideal king or leader in general. In Bhagavatam, we have long descriptions of different dynasties of kings in Surya and Chandra dynasties coming from the sun god and moon god. And this is not by accident. It is because the saintly kings or Raja Rishis were so important for preserving peace and creating situation in which citizens could make progress that they were worth of mentioning on the page in Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, Shukadev Goswami, he wouldn't waste time mentioning them. So ideal king or ideal leader, how is it relevant to all of us? We might not be kings, but in some respect we are leaders to a certain extent, or we are supposed to be in our own capacity, leaders of nobody else, of our families, of our children, or at least of our own selves. And Srila Prabhupada, he expected all his disciples to become spiritual leaders, leaders of society who will help and guide general people towards the goal of life. So by listening the example of Lord Ramachandra, we get the idea how the ideal leader should be and how he should act. First thing that we have mentioned here is that he was personally present supervising the affairs of the city. He was not sitting in some oval office showing himself only on a balcony once in a while, and everything else was done by somebody else. No, he was personally present there to supervise all the affairs of the city. And he sent his brothers outside of the city to supervise the affairs of the neighboring states. So this is the one very important quality of the leader, that he shows by his own example. He's walking his talk. He's not just preaching something and doing something else. No, he's showing by personal example. And this is specific for Lord Ramachandra, who appeared as ideal king and Maryada Purushottama, the Lord who strictly abides to all the moral rules and boundaries, in contrast to Lord Krishna, who appeared as Lila Purushottama. As you know, Lord Krishna, he did some things that are not supposed to be followed, cannot be followed, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he plays in way he likes. But still, he is teaching us through Bhagavad Gita how we should act and how we should behave. On the other side, Lord Ramachandra, he's teaching us by his own example. He's acting as one of us, as human being, ideal human being. One can say many wise things, but he doesn't follow them, who is going to take them seriously? There are many demons like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana who knew very high philosophy and who spoke high philosophy, but did they follow this philosophy? For example, Hiranyakashipu, I give one shloka that Hiranyakashipu is teaching his mother. He says, "My dear mother, in a restaurant or a place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family, and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations." So that means that he knew the science of the soul, reincarnation. He knew everything, theoretically. But in practice, he acted as a demon. That's why he was not ideal leader. So we have to be good on deeds also, not only on words. Next quality of leader that I consider very much important, and that was also exhibited by Lord Ramachandra, is his humility. Interestingly, even in the modern leadership courses that you find everywhere, this quality is considered to be the crucial. In the business world, humility is now becoming something very important, which is quite interesting. So the leader, he should not be proud. If he's proud, he will think that he is a master and lord of everything, and then he should use everything for his own sense gratification. In other words, what will happen? Abuse of power is going to happen. Abuse of position of a leader. And we have examples of kshatriyas in Srimad Bhagavatam who abuse their own power. In just a few chapters ahead, I think it's a 15th chapter, describing Lord Parashurama's incarnation, we have description of Kartavirya Arjuna, who was a very powerful king in Haihaya dynasty. He was so powerful that even Ravana feared him. By the blessings of his guru Dattatreya, this Kartavirya Arjuna, he got 1,000 arms. And one occasion he came to Narmada River, close to his city, Mahishmet in South India, and he was sporting there with his wives. And just a little bit upstream, there was a Ravana camping with his army, doing the puja of Shivalinga, worshipping Lord Shiva. And because Kartavirya Arjuna, he was playfully stopping the flow of the water with his 1,000 arms, the camp of Ravana got completely flooded and he got very disturbed. So he sent some soldiers to see who is creating this disturbance. When they told him it was Kartavirya Arjuna, he took his sword and very angrily went to fight with him. But this Kartavirya Arjuna, he was so powerful that he captured Ravana like a snake captures a mouse or a lizard captures a fly. And he kept him in prison for one whole year. Only after 1 year, he released him nonchalantly because Ravana's father came to beg for his life. So this Kartavirya Arjuna was so powerful, but that power meant him also very, very proud. And as the result of this pride, he also became very greedy. So when he happened to meet Jamadagni and saw that Jamadagni had a Kamadhena cow, he envied him and told his soldiers to steal this Kamadhena cow. And then we know the story that after that, Lord Parashurama killed him. And not only him, he killed all the Kshatriyas on the earth. 21 times. 21 times he toured the earth to kill all these Kshatriyas. And what was their fault? They were proud. And they were abusing the citizens. They were abusing the power and positions they had. Instead of protecting them, they were exploiting them. Another example is King Vena, who was killed by the Brahmanas because of excessive pride, thinking himself to be the Lord, God. He abused everybody else. And he had to be killed. He had to be removed. So leader, he wants to be a true leader. And he doesn't want to be removed from his position. Somehow or other, he has to be and stay humble. Lord Ramachandra, although qualified with so many exalted qualities, is very humble. It was his custom that whenever he would meet somebody for the first time, he would always speak first. He wouldn't watch from above and wait for that person to speak first as a junior. No, he would speak first to ease that person's nervousness. This is showing his humility. Similarly, Lord Krishna, if you remember during the Rajasuya sacrifice, he was in charge for washing the feet of all the guests. Supreme Personality of Godhead took the role of washing everybody's feet, which is a very humble position. Showing that he was humble. So the leader, to be a true leader, needs to be humble, needs to be devoid of this pride who will destroy everything. On the other side, that doesn't mean that he will allow, that leader will allow nonsense just because he's humble. No, when he's supposed to reprimand, chastise, punish, he will do that. But without pride again, he will correct the faults for the benefits of others. Second quality that of a leader that is very important his detachment. He has to be detached. He's not there in that position of a leader to gain some material benefit, to accumulate wealth, to accumulate fame, followers. No, he's there to serve others. There was one president of Uruguay some years ago who was declared to be the poorest president on the earth. Whatever salary he was getting, 90% of it he was giving in charity. And he himself lived in a small thatched house on a farm, had a half broken car. Basically, he didn't change his lifestyle, although he could. He could accumulate wealth utilizing his position, but he didn't. So the leader has to understand that he's not there to take advantage of his position. He's not leader for money, followers, and fame. He's there to serve others. Of course, he might be surrounded by all these opulences as money, but somehow he has to stay uncorrupted by them. His heart has to stay pure. Srila Prabhupada, when ISKCON spread, he got so many followers, so much money, so many temples, but still, he was completely not touched by it. He stayed the same Prabhupada as he was before. So pure heart is needed to be a leader. And one cannot be a leader if he is not a devotee, of course. Pure devotee, unalloyed devotee. That means that his only motivation is to serve and please the Lord. If he has ulterior motives, he's not going to be a good leader, because he will tend to lead others in order to acquire something instead of to please the Lord and help others. So how one becomes a pure devotee? Lord Ramachandra said famous sloka when Vibhishan came to him to surrender, and some of the monkey soldiers and others were objecting that he might not be sincere in his surrender. Then he said, "It is my vow. If one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I'm yours,' and praise to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." So if one completely surrenders to the Lord and takes his shelter, he'll be protected from being corrupted by money, by power, by women, by opulence. He'll be protected. So leader has to be the follower also, the follower of the supreme leader, the Lord and his representative, spiritual master. Otherwise, how he can lead others? Also, leader has to be, as they say, people's man. It's described here that everybody loved Lord Ramachandra. They loved him for what he was, for his exalted qualities, for his genuine care that he took, for his genuine love for the citizens. They were all properly situated and could live peacefully. And all opulence was manifested as the result of that. So he was not some remote leader that shows up only once in a while on a screen, giving announcements, as nowadays happens with some world leaders. No, he was always there when the citizens needed him. So the opulence was the result of the exemplary relationship of the king and the citizens. There is one church in America. It's called Saddleback Church. It developed, started developing in 1980. Just one single pastor with his wife, he came to Orange County, California, and started to have sermons. In the beginning, there were just few people in attendance. After 10 years, for every sermon, they had 10,000. Now, they have 22,000 for each sermon. 22,000 people attending it. Huge, huge congregation. In 30 years, incredible growth. And he said one interesting thing. He wrote two books, Purpose Driven Life and Purpose Driven Church. And he states, if you will concentrate on building people, God will build your church. If you concentrate on building people, God will build your temple. Meaning that if we invest in people, if we take genuine care for the people, everything else will come naturally. So trusting, caring relationship with the leader, this is what is needed. And this needs time to grow. A leader has to be there persistently, day after day, month after month, year after year. Only then the relationship can be developed. Not like in modern states, the leader is changed every year or every few years. How can anyone develop a relationship with him? Also, leader has to be available to people. Not only to people, to everybody who needs him. Lord Ramachandra, he was available there for a dog who was beaten and came to complain. He was available to hear his complaint. So the leader who is never there when you need him, who never answers phone calls, who never replies to emails, who is hiding somewhere and shows up only when he needs you, he's not a good leader. There was one president of India who left his body, but he was declared to be the most loved president of all Indian presidents. His name was Abdul Kalam. The role of president in India is mostly ceremonial. It doesn't have really any power like prime minister. But still this president, Abdul Kalam, Chacha Kalam they used to call him, Uncle Kalam, he was so available to everybody. He made a rule that whoever writes to him, he'll reply the email. Whoever comes to meet him, he'll meet him. In this way, during his 5 years tenure, he met, I think, 500,000 people. That means at least 10 persons a day, one-on-one, he gave personal attention. And that's why people loved him. He was the only president who didn't come from political background. He was a scientist, actually. And just because of his high achievements, they elected him as a president. Otherwise, he had nothing to do with the diplomacy and politics and all the games involved with it. And that's why he was a good leader. Another thing that is expected from a leader, and it is very important, that he's putting the interests of others first instead of his own self-interest. In other words, he has to be selfless. In 11th canto of Bhagavatam, we find that famous shloka spoken by Karbhajana Muni to Maharaj Nimi, Taktva Siddhustaja Surevsita Raja Lakshmi Dharmishta Aryavachasya Dagadaranyam Mayam Rigandaita Yepsitum Anvadhavat Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanharavindam. The different acharyas interpret this shloka to refer to three different incarnations of the Lord. Srila Sridhar Swami, he interprets it that it refers to Lord Ramachandra, who was Dharmishta, who strictly followed the role the rules of Dharma. Arya Vachasa Yadagadaranyam, by the word of his father to obey his word, he went to the forest, Surepsita Raja Lakshim, and he abandoned what is most difficult to abandon in this world, and it's goddess of fortune. He abandoned Sita Devi personally, who was a goddess of fortune, just in order to follow, to obey the order of his father. And in the forest, what did he do? Mayam Rigam Daita Epsitum Anvadhavat. He ran after the golden deer, Marichi. Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravrindam. So he sacrificed his own personal happiness in order to obey the higher principles. And later, when washerman spoke about the character of Mother Sita, he banned Mother Sita to the forest, which is something very unheard of. And sometimes people criticize him for that, but they don't know that he had to set the example that the king is above any suspicion. But it was very painful for him. Certainly it was very painful for him to send Mother Sita to the forest. But still he sacrificed his personal interest for the sake of others in order to be ideal king. So the same shloka, Jiva Goswami, he interprets it to refer to Lord Krishna. Tyakta sudustaja surevsita raja lakshmi. Lord Krishna, when he was born to obey the order of his father Vasudev, he abandoned the opulence of city of Mathura and he went to Vrindavan. And he is also Dharmishta. And in Vrindavan, Maya Mrigam, he became a toy, play toy in the hands of gopis and cowherd boys. And then he lived there for 11 years. After 11 years, Akrura came to take him to Mathura. Do you think it was easy for Lord to go? It was very difficult. But still he did it for the benefit of the whole world. Yadus, they expected his protection. Demoniac kings, they were destroying the earth. Somebody had to curb them. If he just stayed and enjoyed in Vrindavan, which was what he liked to do, he would not fulfill his mission as incarnation. He would not kill the miscreants and establish the principles of religion. So he sacrificed his pleasurable, comfortable stay in Vrindavan with the Vrajavasis who loved him and whom he loved and went for the sake of others. Similarly, the same shloka is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur to describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also left the goddess of fortune, Vishnu Priya Devi, and he took sannyas. He was only 24 years old, and Vishnu Priya Devi, she was 16, I think. And also loving mother, and so many loving devotees in Navadvip. He left them for the benefit of the whole world, to preach the glories of devotional service, and to set the example. So again, he sacrificed his own personal self-interest. So from the leader, it is expected to put the interests of others in first place, and his own interest in the back. Then only then he can claim to be a true leader. So we listen about Lord Ramachandra, his exalted qualities, in order to get idea what the true leader is, to be inspired to imbibe these qualities in our own life. And for the end, I would like to read a description of some of his quality that is given in Ayodhya Kanda of Valmiki's Ramayana. When this is a section when his father is contemplating and throning him as the king. And then he remembers all these qualities that he has, meaning that he is qualified to be a king. It described that he was endowed with a supernatural loveliness and heroism and was envious of no one. So if one wants to be a leader, he has to be free from envy. He was always tranquil at heart, and his speech was gentle. So if one has a position, doesn't mean that he can just blast anybody and speak harshly. No, the speech has to be gentle. He never spoke arrogantly to any man, even though he had been insulted. This is very difficult. Even if you're insulted, you don't speak arrogantly. You don't answer back. You don't criticize and blaspheme that person. You try to understand him and help him, even if he is criticizing you. He was delighted by some small service rendered to him, and being self-possessed, he would forgive hundreds of misdeeds. So if anybody would do just a small good thing, he would remember only that and completely neglect everything bad. He would converse with the self-realized souls and those of mature character, with those advanced in spiritual knowledge and with those advanced in years. Meaning that he would respect the seniors and always would be available for these persons. He was intelligent, sweetly spoken, and would always speak first, what we already mentioned. He was agreeable and valorous, but was not proud of his heroism. He never spoke an untruth. Nowadays it's almost unimaginable for a politician or leader in the modern politics to be truthful. Because in order to achieve so many purposes, you have to lie. You are bound to lie if you want to stay. Otherwise, you'll be kicked out of the position. This is the nature of the modern politics, which can infiltrate even in the spiritual organizations. But no, if he wants to be a true leader, he has to speak the truth. He cannot lie. He was compassionate, mild, and a worshipper of Brahmanas. He pitied the unfortunate and was conversant with the principles of religion. Lord Rama always had his citizens' well-being in mind. He would allow no mischief, neither did he relish any vulgar talk. So he would not indulge in prajalpa. His transcendental body was free from disease and influence of old age. He had acquired all requisite learning, had undertaken all manner of religious vows, and was fully conversant with the Vedas and the Vedic supplements. So in other words, the leader has to be trained also. Because leadership is also requires some skill. So he can have good qualities, but if he doesn't have a skill, how he can lead? So proper training and education is required. He was the benefactor of all the people. He regulated his sense enjoyment. In other words, he was in control of his senses. So leader has to have control of his senses. Otherwise, how he can control anybody else? He was modest and reserved. He kept his counselor's advice secret and had many companions and confidential servants. He utterly rejected things mundane and would never speak harshly. He was alert and infallible. He was neither unaware of faults of his kin nor of the others. He knew the scriptures, he was grateful, and he was learned in the art of psychology. This is interesting. Learn in the art of psychology. In order to help others, you need to understand their minds. In other words, you need to know some psychology. You need to know what this person needs in particular situation, particular moment, to be able to give a proper advice. Some psychological knowledge is needed. Otherwise he comes to you and complains, and you tell him something completely unrelated. What is that person going to do? No, you need to know how to give him proper advice. And so on, so on and so forth. I'll stop with these qualities here. So my main point is this class, in order to become true leaders, at least of ourselves, if nobody else, we need to acquire these qualities exhibited by Lord Ramachandra as ideal human being. And we should endeavor for that by consciously putting some endeavor to develop these qualities. And of course, all the good qualities manifest in one who is a pure devotee. So at the same time, parallelly, we should try to become good devotees in order for these qualities to manifest. Okay, I'll stop here. If you have any comments or questions, we have a few minutes left. Yes, Mataji. Mike, please, it's here.
I was thinking that to study a perfect leader, we can look at Srila Prabhupada's life, because every quality you mentioned he had completely. Like, he was so humble that he, even though so exalted, he came, he lived in such humble circumstances. He made himself available to everyone. Even sometimes when he was ill, you know, devotees would try to keep people away. They'd say, no, you can't go because, you know, he's too busy or he's not well. And Prabhupada would hear them and go, huh, who is that? Tell him to come in, you know. And I heard that Prabhupada, there was never a letter that someone wrote to Prabhupada that he didn't answer. So, you know, so great, but always so humble, living so simply and making himself available to everybody. So as we study Prabhupada's life and try to emulate, you know, what he, the way he lived, besides his teachings, it's like we'll become perfect leaders.
Yes, thank you, Madhya. Srila Prabhupada is definitely the perfect example and the most recent example of perfect leader that we had. Unfortunately, we have many biographies to study his life. And by hearing about his qualities, we might also imbibe some of these qualities. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.